You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 team.
Hello, Dodger fans, and welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Ravine Fiends. With me is Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. Jeff, the Mookie Betts trade is official. Mookie Betts is officially a Dodger. How was your Monday?
Yeah, it was good. It's kind of crazy to think no team had ever traded for Mookie Betts before, and now the Dodgers have done it three times in less than a week.
The Dodgers never do things conventionally, so it would only make sense that they do that.
Overachievers.
Yeah. So today we're going to dive deeper into, now that the trades are official, kind of dive deeper into where obviously we know where Mookie Betts fits in, but where other people fit in around that, where David Price fits in, and where Bruce Dar Gratterall fits in. But before that, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car in the morning, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. Okay, so the Mookie Betts trade is official. An added name was the Dodgers traded Jair Camargo to the Twins, a catcher. Not a prospect, but a minor league catcher. And then to make room on the 40-man roster, two guys were DFA'd. Two guys that we mentioned that might get DFA'd yesterday, and Tyler White and Kyle Garlick. I don't know if either of them will get picked up, but if they don't, I only see the Dodgers maybe bringing back Garlick. I don't see them bringing back White. Jeff, what do you think?
Since I never saw what they really saw in White to start with, you know, we've kind of always assumed, well, maybe they have a plan to teach him how to hit again. And I don't know if that changed with all the latest stuff about the Astros, if it just got to be, you know, we don't want anybody from the cheating Astros on our team. I could see them bringing him back on a minor league contract, maybe, if he wanted to. But I don't know. It seems like his demand won't be high in the rest of the league since, you know, he was on the cheating Astros team and has been really bad the last couple of years. I don't see them bringing him back, but I didn't see them keeping him as long as they did. So I'm willing to admit that they might see something that I don't, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, if Tyler White goes, I mean, realistically for him, it'd probably be better for him to go somewhere else. There'd have to be a lot of injuries for him to get any type of significant playing time with the Dodgers. Whereas, you know, Kyle Garlick, kind of the same boat. Obviously, he would need a lot to happen injury-wise, but it did happen last year, and he ended up getting some playing time. But, you know, hopefully, wish the best Kyle Garlick. He had the cool story this past year about how he used to work regular day jobs during the offseason in order to, you know, survive. And then that since he was up so long in the majors this year, that he said this would be the first offseason he'd have fully to train. So,
yeah,
good luck to him. Nah, don't really care about Tyler White too much, but that's how it is.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if the Dodgers swing a trade for Garlick, because now that they DFA'd him, they can trade him. Garlick is a guy I could definitely see being like a fourth outfielder on a bad team or something like that. You know, I like Kyle Garlick a lot. I don't think he has any place on a team that plans on winning 110 games in the World Series this year. But a team like the Royals or the Marlins or somebody like that who doesn't plan on winning and wants a good, solid, power-hitting fourth outfielder, I could see them going for Kyle Garlick. So I wouldn't be surprised to see the Dodgers swing some sort of trade for – it wouldn't be a big trade. It would be for minor leaguers who we've never heard of. But, you know, hopefully Kyle Garlick lands on his feet because I'd like to see him succeed.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely – talked a little bit more about Kyle Garlick and Tyler White than I thought, but let's get into, we'll go with the bullpen first. With the addition of Bruce Dar Gratterall, what does that mean? What does that change for you? Do you see, you know, where do you see him slotting in if he comes in and is effective right away?
Yeah, there's still so many question marks about who's going to be in what role. Like, basically, with the addition of Price and the signing of Alex Wood, basically the top four starters are locked down. But then there's, you know, so you've got Buehler, Kershaw, Wood, and Price as the top four starters. But then for that fifth starter spot, you've got Julio, you've got Dustin May, you've got Tony Gonsolin, you've got Jimmy Nelson, you've got, I mean, maybe Caleb Ferguson even in that boat. And so the bullpen question kind of partly depends on who wins that fifth starter spot, at least at first. But the Dodgers have the pieces to have a really good bullpen. I'm not sure how they're going to put them together. And again, it's another reason why I'm a little surprised Scott Alexander wasn't on the DFA list, just because I don't know how he fits in. There's so many pitchers who are better than him on the Dodgers 40-man roster. But Gratterall with his stuff, you know, we'll have to see how it works. The Twins had mostly used him as a starter, and even though everybody kind of agrees that his future is as a reliever, I think he'll be coming in on the Dodgers as a reliever. And I mean, he might be throwing 103 as a reliever. And if the Dodgers can harness his stuff, you know, I've heard some question marks about his slider, if they can either fix that or get rid of it. You know, if you throw 103 and have one other pitch, you don't necessarily need a third pitch. There's still a lot of question marks, but when your starting point is, hey, I throw over 100 miles an hour, you can deal with those question marks. And so I don't think they will expect him to come in and be a setup man or even a high leverage guy at first, but I could see him pitching his way into that role pretty quickly over the first couple months of the season.
Yeah, and you said that you think the top four starters are kind of settled. I don't know if – I think it – well, I mean, they might be settled, but I think Walker Buehler is probably the only starter that'll get 30 or more starts. I think everyone else will be 28 or less, maybe even 25 or less. They're going to try to, you know, move people around. Maybe not Kershaw, but, you know, he's getting older. I think he kind of realizes, you know, what they have and what the depth is, and he needs to be, you know, kind of – in better shape for October. So I think they'll have just a big rotation of the rotation, and then everyone else kind of slots in after that. I mean, you didn't even mention Stripling. If they end up keeping Stripling, that's another guy that fits in. So there's a lot to take in, but I think a core bullpen of Gratterall, Kelly, Kolarik, Jansen, Trainin,
Baez.
I mean, that's a solid, yeah, and Baez. I mean, that's solid right there. I mentioned what if they change their idea or mind of anything with Pedro Baez, now that, you know, he has the arbitration case, you know, I don't know if that'll affect, they want to trade him or kind of start grooming Gratterall to be more of that role. Probably not, but they want to keep as many arms as possible. But it's going to be very interesting to see how it kind of goes out throughout the year, because there's a lot of volatility like any year with the bullpen. But I feel like, you know, with this year so much, if Jansen is able to work his way back, and I know we've been saying this for a couple of years now, but, you know, he's still a top guy. Joe Kelly has the stuff. We saw it all the second half of the season, and then Dave Roberts wanted to use him for two innings for some reason, and it all, you know, went away. And, you know, he was dealing with injuries too last year, so there's a lot to go on. But like I said, with Gratterall, I think, you know, they're going to ease him into the role, trying to, you know, work with Mark Pryor, work with everyone else, and then, you know, kind of let him go at it and give him the back half of the – or give him the back end of the game at some point, 7 through 8 with Jansen, and maybe grooming him for, you know, potentially taking over for Jansen once his time is done with the Dodgers.
Yeah, with this offseason, the Dodgers have added Blake Treinen, Jimmy Nelson, and Bruce Dar Gratterall to the bullpen. That's three guys with pretty big question marks, but the answer to those questions – could very likely be, holy crap, these guys are good, which is a good situation to be in at this point.
Yeah. All right. That'll do it for this segment. We're going to talk about where kind of what left field's kind of the only question mark right now, and how that's going to work out with Mookie Betts. And now we're David Price fit time. We talked about it a little right now, but we'll get a little bit deeper into it. But before that, let's talk about Arizona. So the Dodgers play baseball in Arizona during the spring training. There are 15 teams and 10 stadiums in Arizona, all within an hour of each other with no traffic. The weather's great out there. There's a lot to do besides baseball, but there's also a lot of baseball. There's, you know, most of the time you can catch a game at 12 or 1 and catch another game at 6 or 7, depending how you schedule it out. So there's a lot to do. There's also a lot of baseball. Now there'll be Mookie Betts there. Now it'll be David Price there. Now you can go watch Bruce Del Gratterall throw a bullpen and see 101 miles an hour with sinking action. So you should get out to Arizona. And if you want to start planning your trip, you can go to visitarizona.com/springtraining and check out everything that Arizona has to offer. And stay locked on Dodgers. All right, let's get right into this obscure former Dodger. Mookie Betts was born in 1992, so I went to 1992 Dodgers and just try to find someone that we haven't done yet. This guy I definitely never heard of, but he, so that fits perfectly in the obscure category, and that's Kip Gross. Kip Gross was a Dodger in 1992 was his first year with the Dodgers. He didn't pitch for long. He came up in 1990, so he played 4 years, and then he was gone for a while pitching in Japan, and then he came back and pitched in 1999 and 2000 at the age of 34 and 35. So didn't pitch very well, but he did come back and pitch. The funny part about Kip Gross is that I don't know who did his Wikipedia page, but it says May 10th, 1994, Gross was purchased by the Nippon Ham Fighters of the Japanese Pacific League. And then it says, this explains his absence from Major League Baseball from 1994 till 1998. So the way it worded is just kind of funny. And then it says, he is remembered by baseball enthusiasts as one of the finest non-Japanese players to have played in the Japanese leagues. So I don't know if he did it, wrote himself, or he has some Kip Gross fan club. Yes. The Kip Gross fan club, but a very interesting Wikipedia page. But yeah, Kip Gross, very obscure. I would be hard pressed if you had an anecdote about Kip Gross.
Well, first of all, Kip Gross in his 5 seasons in Japan had a 3.60 ERA. So maybe there haven't been a lot of American pitchers to pitch in Japan. That's the only way I could figure that he is actually well known for anything in Japan, because he was just kind of
a finest. Maybe it's attractiveness.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, he was a decent looking guy, I guess. Yeah, Kip Gross. Main thing I remember about Kip Gross is that he came to the Dodgers from the Reds in the same trade that brought Eric Davis over. It was just a year or so after the Dodgers had signed Darryl Strawberry. They brought over his childhood buddy, Eric Davis, which should have been the most talented outfield in baseball history. Up until Cody Bellinger and Mookie Betts. But, you know, both of those guys were hurt and had other issues. But Eric Davis was one of the most talented players in baseball history. And so I remember that trade very well because I was excited for it. The guys who went back to the Reds in that trade were John Wetland, who later turned out to be, I believe he's turned out to be a dirtbag monster kind of guy, if I remember right. Maybe a child pornography guy? I don't know. I guess I shouldn't slander John Wetland. I'm sorry, John Wetland, if the kind of illegal monster you are isn't what I just said. But anyway, you're a piece of garbage. And Tim Belcher was the other one. And Tim Belcher has been showing up on our Twitter feeds in the last couple weeks because he was the pitcher who allowed Derek Jeter's first two career hits. So there's my Kip Gross tidbits. They are all about people who aren't Kip Gross.
Yeah, sounds about right. Okay, not Kip Gross, but David Price. David Price, Dodgers, is on the Dodgers now, and he figures to slot into the rotation. He pitched really well in the first half of the season last year and kind of had some issues and fell off in the second half of the season. But overall, moving to the National League, getting out of the AL East into the NL West should be beneficial for him. What are you looking for and what are you looking to get out of David Price this year?
Yeah, I'm hopeful that he will be a good, solid number three or four starter, which is what they're paying him for, like you said. And it's what it's all they need from him right at this point. Obviously, come the postseason, hopefully the Dodgers will be able to have somebody else besides Bueller, a two punch to go with that one punch. and whether that's one of the guys currently on the roster or they make a trade in July, I don't know. And Price could potentially be that guy. He was in 2018 for the Red Sox. But all they really need for him for the next several months is come in and be solid, be healthy, you know, pitch pretty well. And I think he could definitely do that. And with the offense the Dodgers are going to have, they don't need David Price to be the Cy Young winner. They need him to be good, solid, keep team in the game kind of guy and let the offense do the trick. And I definitely could see that happening. And I also think there's an outside chance that we see him as a really good reliever. If, you know, whether it's because things don't work out in the rotation or because they're bringing, you know, because May and Gonsolin and Julio are already or whatever, and so they need to do some shuffling. But David Price, I could see him being a really good weapon out of the bullpen in the postseason or late in the season if they need him in that role. I don't know if I would predict that that will happen, but I definitely think it could.
Yeah, the more and more I think about David Price being part of this deal and the fact that they got the Red Sox to pay down half his contract. So like I said yesterday, he's basically getting paid what a number three starter going rate, or even some number two starters these days, depending on how good your team is. But I'm excited. I think getting out of Boston, he had a lot of issues in Boston outside of baseball, specifically, you know, Dennis Eckersley and just the Boston media in general. You know, I feel like the LA media is not as crucifying in the regular season. If he comes in and struggles in October, but even then, a bad column from Plaschke's not too much compared to what he dealt with in Boston. And I'm excited. I think he's going to do well. I think he's going, like I said earlier, I don't think they're planning on getting 30 starts from anyone other than Walker Buehler. So nice 20 to 25 starts from David Price. Make sure he's healthy. Make sure he got all his pitches working. And then, you know, depending where he's at later in the year, I think he slots well as that swing man that, you know, most teams need nowadays, since starters don't go that deep into the postseason. But hopefully he works his way up and he's able to be, you know, maybe the number three starter, maybe the number two starter if he's really, really great. But I definitely see him playing a big role in October. And he had, you know, some postseason demons as well that he seemed to get rid of. But, you know, it remains to be seen if that was just the Dodgers really bad at hitting that whole postseason or if he was actually, you know, got rid of
him. He was very good in the clinching game against the Astros that year too.
Okay, yeah. So there's a lot to think about with David Price, but you know, the more I think about it, the more excited I get. I think he's going to be good.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, a change of scenery might do him well. Like you said, coming to the National League, there's a lot of reasons for optimism with David Price.
Yeah. Okay. So last part, you know, Mookie Betts realistically is going to slot into right field. Cody Bellinger in center field. We got Muncy, Lux, Seager, Turner, Smith in the infield. Left field's a big question mark. We both think Josh's going to get traded, so he probably doesn't factor into this, but he might. But, you know, there's Kike, there's Chris Taylor, there's AJ Pollock, obviously, and there's Matt Beatty a little bit. There's Gavin Lux if they end up wanting to try him out in the outfield. So there's a lot of options in left field. Jeff, what are you thinking that is going to happen in that spot?
Yeah, you know, I know we said on yesterday's episode that they kind of have to trade Jock, but I was thinking about it all day on Monday, and I guess I still think it's more likely than not that they will trade him, but I don't necessarily think they have to because, you know, like I said, I don't think that the arbitration thing is that big a deal. He lost an arbitration case. It happens. You know, the reason to trade him would be if you think he's not part of your future plans. Because he will be a free agent after this year. If he's not part of your future plans and you don't need him, but you know, a lot of it comes down to what they expect from AJ Pollock, I think, because Pollock was lousy against righties last year. And so, I mean, AJ Pollock and Jock Peterson as a platoon basically it could not be written more perfectly, except for the fact that AJ Pollock in that platoon would only be getting, you know, 200, 250 plate appearances, which may not be what they have in mind for him. But, you know, if you also factor in, you could still play AJ against righties once in a while when, somebody else needs a day off. Maybe, I don't know. It's hard to lock them into a platoon. So I understand their mindset of wanting AJ to be basically the everyday left fielder. And so with that in mind, if that is their mindset, it seems like either AJ or Jock has to go. I could see Jock and Taylor, or Jock being the left-handed side of the platoon and some mix of Taylor and Kike being the right-handed side. If they decide to trade Pollock instead, I don't know. I would think that Jock has more value than Pollock right now, but I don't know that for sure. It seems like AJ Pollock is probably going to get the bulk of the plate appearances in left field unless Jock is on the roster, in which case, shrug emoji. I have no idea.
Yeah. Us thinking Jock's going to get traded is more so just based on everything that's happened. I'm assuming you're on the same boat with me. Like I said, I don't want Jock traded. Jock Peterson, that lineup against right-handers would be very, very nasty if Jock Peterson stays, and not so much nasty if he doesn't. So the part for me that is conflicting, if they want to try to get rid of one of the contracts, Kike and Jock are both in their last year. Kike, between those two, I love Kike, but if it came down to it, I'd prefer to see him get traded. But then that leaves Chris Taylor as the only middle infielder the only guy that can play middle infield besides the starters, or at least shortstop specifically, because they have Edwin Rios and Matt Beatty on the roster, but those guys can't play shortstop. Zach McKinstry's on the 40-man, but I don't think he's going to make a straight leap to the big leagues, which is why the Renjifo trade was interesting on its side. If we still didn't know what the other prospects were going to be, but it was interesting in the case that if they get Renjifo, then that kind of opens up Kike and Taylor, more so Kike, to be available for trade, because they signed Taylor to the extension, so they're probably not looking to trade him. So, yeah, I don't know what's going to exactly go on, but if I think they're going to give AJ Pollock all the chances in the world to be the everyday left fielder for the most part, assuming Jock is traded, and he said he worked on stuff in the offseason. I'm sure he works on stuff every offseason, but he talked about how he had a bad taste in his mouth with the postseason and his season overall. And he was really good when he was healthy in that second half of the season. So, I hope he can handle it. If he does handle it, that's a formidable guy to have out there in left field. I mean, he was really, really good not too long ago in center field, and we saw him lose his defense, but defense not as important in left field, and he can handle it pretty well out there. So hopefully AJ Pollock can get it going, but if not, I'd like to see, if Jock's gone, I'd like to see, Beatty and Taylor maybe getting a little bit of a platoon out there, or Beatty, Taylor, Pollock just kind of all rotating in wherever they can. So we'll see what they do. They will have the extra man on the roster with the 26-man roster, so they'll have a little bit more room to play with. But left field's really the only spot that looks like it'll be platooned at the moment.
Yeah, and it, like I said, probably won't be a strict platoon since their main guy is a right-hander. But yeah, you could definitely see Beatty more than adequately holding down, a third of the starts or whatever in left field against right-handed pitchers. Not all right-handed pitchers, but once in a while. So, I was thinking about, the way Pollock's season started and ended last year. He was really bad to start the season, then he was really bad in the postseason. And so it's like he put a bad taste in Dodger fans' mouths right off the bat, and then we have a bad taste in our mouths from how it ended. And so it is easy to forget how good he was for a lot of the season. He was really good, a really good hitter, and not just against left-handed pitching. He was really, really good. I was thinking about Matt Kemp back in 2018 and how, he was great for the first couple months of the season and then just kind of downhill, and thinking how much different things would have been if he had just rearranged his season. And for him, it would have been in a bad way, because basically if he had started out bad and then gotten good, he wouldn't have made the All-Star team like he did. You know, he probably wouldn't have won Comeback Player of the Year, even if his ending season numbers were exactly the same. You know, and so Pollock is kind of the opposite. If he had started out really good and ended really good and had his slump in the middle of the season, I think we would all be a lot more optimistic about AJ Pollock, even with the exact same overall numbers that he had. So I definitely think there's reason for optimism with Pollock.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens there. Players report next week. So we'll see if Jock Peterson's there. And if he is, I hope they end up keeping him and let him mash against righties for another year, another 30-plus home runs, and then he can go find a new home after that, because he probably won't stay beyond that.
Yep.
All right. Jeff, you got anything else to add before we head out?
I don't. Did you know that Jeter Downs' brother is also in the Red Sox minor league system?
I did not know that.
Yeah, I just saw this on Twitter. Our buddy Tim Rogers tweeted out that Jeter Downs and Jerry Downs are currently listed on the same roster for the Portland Sea Dogs. So,
so they name one kid Jeter, and then the other one's Jerry.
Yeah.
That guy kind of got screwed.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe he's named after Jerry Springer or Jerry Seinfeld or something.
Jerry Rice, maybe. Well, who knows? But, all right, that'll do it for today's episode. Thank you for listening to Locked On Dodgers. There was a lot of stuff that happened over the weekend, but obviously the Mookie Betts stuff happened, so we had to talk about it. So later this week, we will talk about AJ Hinch's televised apology and the Wall Street Journal article that came out with more stuff against the Astros, and we'll talk about some of the proposed rule changes in MLB and playoffs specifically. So stick around for that the rest of this week, and probably more Mookie talk and more everything else around the trade talk. So if you like the show, please show us, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and or Apple if you have it. Download, listen, rate and review, and all that good stuff. Preferably on Apple, but wherever you get your podcasts is also great. If you want to interact or follow us on social media, you can do so on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at SnyDog. I'm at Vince Samperio. You can shoot us a DM on any of those accounts. You can call and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text at 323-863-LOCK. That's 323-863-LOCK. Jeff, do you have the name of the person for us?
You'd think I would. I do know that Jerry Downs is actually Jerry Downs Jr., and therefore he is named after his father. So I guess that's good enough. And maybe if I talk slow enough, I will have the name of the person by the time I finish this sentence. That person's name is Alex Gonzalez. His family is from Brooklyn. He's a longtime Dodger fan. He actually lives in Houston now. He grew up in Miami, has lived in Houston for the last 7 or 8 years, but always wears his Dodger hat all around Houston and withstands the dirty looks from that. So Alex Gonzalez, thank you for being a loyal listener of Locked On Dodgers.
There we go. All right, we're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you later.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs. They're my Los Angeles. Your Los Angeles. Our Los Angeles.
Do you think we'll really win the pennant?
Bye!